everybody, and welcome back to another action-packed episode of Warranted Attitude. This is the 57th edition. I am your host, Brent Piles, and with me, as always, as I war to attitude, as we war our way through 1997, we're almost there. We're almost finished. We've almost made the run. He is the barroom brawling disco dancing. I am my stretch and intercontinental playboy, folks. He's moreover than winning 3-2 in the North London Derby. He is G.A. Russell, not Glenn Abbott. Glenn, how are you doing? Your armbar Abbott, excuse me. Armbar Abbott, how are you doing?
He's not that over. Possibly more over than Joe being number one in the charts.
But I'm very sorry to tell you, but I don't know who Joe Hendry is.
Joe Hendry. He's a wrestler.
Joe Hendry, I'm sorry. Yeah, see, I don't know him so well that I don't even know his name.
He does his own intros.
Oh, see, okay.
Check him on YouTube. You'll be thoroughly entertained with his intros, especially the Bohemian Rhapsody one. It's excellent.
What do you think? That's Bohemian Rhapsody. Sign me up, because that is one of my favorite songs of all time. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
My youngest son Bryson knows all the words to that song, and I can say that I have done a great job as a father because of that.
Oh yeah, definitely. I agree with you entirely. And my favorite
for most of my life, I was like, "What do you mean the Wayne's World song?" That's where I first heard it, was on the movie Wayne's World. Do you ever see that flick?
Yeah. Oh yes. Who hasn't seen that flick?
My wife probably hasn't. She never will. I've tried.
Yeah.
I've tried. Yeah, yeah, Glenn.
So still we go back to clear. Definitely. It's still not quite in our hands yet. We need City to slip up, us not to. But I'd rather be in this situation than teams lower than us. Put it that way. I won't mention any names, but teams lower than us.
I'm glad we're not going to finish like.
No, that's right. Or even in relegation, you know, you got to feel for these teams that are fighting for relegation.
Yeah, because there are some quality teams there. When you look at like injuries and just unfortunateness, some of those teams are going to get relegated, and it's unfortunate because they are like Luton Town. I think Luton Town is one of the funnest teams I can watch out there, but I think with injuries and just plain unluckiness, they're going to get relegated. And well, but the nice thing about that, Glenn, is it gives me a reason to watch the lower league, and it gives me a team to support in the lower league. So I guess that helps me a little bit.
I can understand that. Yeah, give you a chance to watch some of the championship.
Yeah, I mean, I watched your home team of Ipswich last week, and I watched the first half of their game.
Yeah, it looks like they could be going up.
Yeah, I saw that.
Again, everything is in their hands, so fingers crossed on that. Might actually get to an Arsenal game next season.
You? Oh, yeah, if they play them.
Well, if they come up. Yes.
Yeah, if they come up, they will play them twice, right?
Yeah, so don't stand a lot of chance of getting to the Emirates, but certainly get to Portman Road.
Yeah, there you go. That would be fucking awesome if you could go see them. That'd be cool. Here's a hot topic of conversation after the Spurs Arsenal game. I saw, I believe this man was a Chelsea fan complaining about Ben White's dark arts tactics in the bully box, where he is complaining about how Ben White on the second goal of Kai Havertz illegally jumped in front of the goalkeeper. And my point to this guy was, I watch a lot of soccer, and I'm not trying to say that like as a douchebag, like I know more than everybody else, but I literally in every game I watch that happens. So I don't know what we're complaining.
He's so good at it. That's what they're complaining about. I used to play in goal. Now, even before I started shrinking, before I came an old man, I was 5'10" at most. So not the biggest goalkeeper in the world. So you have to use a few dark arts, especially for corners and things, to get an advantage over very tall strikers. Whereas they're going to beat you every time. So what I used was launch myself into the air off their foot and that sort of thing.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so that they couldn't. But, you know, turnabout is fair play. If Ben White thinks he can get away with undoing the goalkeeper's gloves, I'm all for it.
That was the thing about it. Like, this guy wasn't complaining about that. He was complaining about him jumping in front of him, which I literally see that in every game I watch. There's not a game that I watch on any level in any country where someone doesn't jump in front of the keeper while the ball's in the air during a corner. It always happens. And I don't remember who it was, but somebody for one of the after shows was making the point of, well, the keeper's got to move then. He's got to do something to get around him. He can't just stand right there in front of him.
Nope.
Or behind
him. And goalkeepers have been so protected over the years. There was a time when I first started watching football that the forward could knock a goalkeeper in the back of the net with the ball and be given a goal.
Right.
Now you can't touch a goalkeeper.
I mean, we had a goal. I don't remember who it was against, but we had one called off because I think Ben White had his arm on the keeper's arm. He had his hand on the keeper's arm. So they called it off. So they've definitely called them back on us too.
Which is fair enough because, you know, if you're holding the one person that can lift their arms in the penalty area and you're holding onto one of their arms, then, you know, that's a foul.
Yeah, that shouldn't be allowed. Yeah, absolutely not. But
you say this guy is a Chelsea fan.
Yeah, he's a Chelsea fan.
I bet he's got five reasons why all our goals against him should have been disallowed as well.
I'm sure he probably does. I'm sure he probably does. Didn't Chelsea have a manager years ago who, like, basically said their strategy was to get in front of the goalkeeper during corners? Didn't he say that, like, in the newspapers?
Yep.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. But, yeah, so, I mean, they made us sweat it out in the second half. It was a real fun first half. After Raya gave the one
away. To be fair, Arsenal didn't play very well.
No, they didn't. Tottenham was the better side.
Yeah. They three shots, three goals.
Yeah, one came off their own head, so that's their fault.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's your own fault.
But that's the sort of luck you need if you're going to win championships.
And let's also celebrate the fact that we have qualified again for the Champions League next year. 2 years in a row.
Yeah. And something you're probably not aware of is St. Tottenham's Day, where it becomes mathematically impossible for Tottenham to beat it.
I saw that on Threads. Celebrating St. Tottenham Day. I did see that.
Yeah, St. Tottenham's Day, which is first time in a few years. Oh, last year I think was the first time, but
yeah,
there's been a few years where they've always been above us, so they've had the boasting rights for that. So it's nice to get that back.
Well, not anymore, you sons of bitches. It was funny. I saw an interview with Sack after the game, and I think they were saying that he was the first English player to score 20 goals for Arsenal since. And they asked him since who, and then I think it was Ramsdale who yelled from somewhere else. He said, Thierry Henry. He said, Thierry Henry's not English, my guy.
Yeah.
It's Ian Wright.
Ian Wright, it was, yeah.
Yeah, which I thought that was just funny. Like, he tried to get him to come back and show his face on camera for getting it wrong. He's like, come here. Ramsdale was like, not my mouth. It was really funny. But yeah, that's our soccer talk for the week. Unless you got anything else you want to say.
No, that's it. Fine. Let's get on with some wrestling.
All right, let's get back to the old wrestling as soon as I can get my computer screen to load back up again. All right, now I got it. All right, so Raw is War, November the 10th, 1997, from the Coral Center in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. This place opened in 1996. It is now known as the Canadian Tire Center. And no, you cannot get your tires fixed there, replaced. You can't even buy tires there. It's just an arena. Very, you know, like, I feel like that's, like, misleading. You know what I mean? I feel like because the Canadian Tire Center, they should fix my tires there, you know?
Yeah, but if they're sponsoring, then.
You got any arenas sponsored by tire centers, Glenn?
I don't know. There's probably a Firestone around somewhere.
I'm sure there is. I'm sure we got two or three of them. Minor league baseball teams are probably sponsored by all kinds of fucking tire stores in this country.
Yeah.
So This arena had 4 episodes of Raw, 7 episodes of SmackDown. It held the 2012 NHL All-Star Game. Wayne Gretzky, hockey great, played his last NHL game in the country of Canada in this arena in 1999. And if you find yourself in Ottawa this summer, you can check out a couple of country concerts. Glenn, you stop me if you've heard of any of these people. Tim McGraw will be there on May 3rd. You ever heard of Tim McGraw?
I've heard of Tim McGraw, yeah.
Can you name any Tim McGraw songs?
No, but I could physically see him. I've seen him on TV, but I can't think of any songs he's sung.
I didn't think that you would be able to. Or for maybe some newer age country fans, you can see Cole Swindell on the 18th. Or you can see an episode of Monday Night Raw this summer on July the 8th. They will be in town. Or I saved this last one especially for you, Glenn. You should head on over to Ontario on August the 10th, and you can see a fellow Englishman just like yourself, Billy Idol.
Ah, a rebel yelling all over Canada. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Impregnating women. Well, he's probably too old to impregnate women now, so never mind.
Yeah. His nature days are probably over, or his rebelling days.
Absolutely. So this is coming off, of course, a controversial ending of the most controversial ending in probably a pay-per-view history, at least up until this point. Shawn Michaels is a new WWF champion. We get the DX music for the first time ever, besides like that. I think they showed like a preview for In Your House DX, but I think we talked about how the WWE Network probably went back in and added that in later on in post. That wasn't actually a live broadcast.
No, this was probably the first time that it was actually shown.
Yeah, and so Rick Rude comes out first. He, then brings the rest of the guys out. But people are booing them out of the building, of course.
That was a surprise. The DX music hits, and then Rick Rude just comes out on his own.
Yeah, I think last week is Rude's last week. I think next week's Raw is the infamous Raw where he is on Raw and Nitro on the same night, I believe.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They remind us that good thing Shawn Michaels has his clothes on, because last week he did say he was going to walk out naked, which I had forgot that he said that, but he did say it. So God, he's not naked. They wouldn't change that in Canada. You'd probably get locked up.
if he had sunny type wrapped around his leg or something, dragging her.
Something like that, yeah. I saw a sign in the crowd that says, if Brett goes, we go. And I was wondering, well, pal, what are you doing here?
Oh, well, yeah, go. Bye, then.
You shouldn't have came to the show tonight, buddy. You should have scalped some tickets on the outside, if you know what I mean. Sean gets on the mic. He says he wants to come. He wanted to come out to the ring and be politically correct, which I'm sure that's not fucking true.
It's when
has he ever done that?
That's it.
He says, but because someone else drew first blood, he's going to load on everyone. He says they can chant, we want Brett, all they want. But he beat Brett in his own country with his own finishing moves. He says he made him submit and sent him down south with all the old timers. He says that all the guys down there who aren't his friends are going to beat the hell out of him one day. The guys down there who are his friends are going to beat the hell out of him one day. So I guess he's saying that Scott Hall and Kevin Nash are going to corner Bret Hart in the locker room and beat him up.
Yeah, that's basically what he's saying.
I doubt it. I somehow doubt that's going to happen. And then Ken Shamrock, Ken Shamrock, well. John Camrock is a porn star, I think. Ken Shamrock, who's not a porn star, makes his way down to the ring. He looks like he's ready to fight. Sean starts talking bad about him. He says he can't form a sentence together. Ken Shamrock gets on the mic, calls them a disgrace. He then challenges Sean to a match. What are you going to say?
Shouldn't have done that. Should have just punched him in the mouth. When somebody can't talk on the mic and the heel is saying you can't talk on the mic, don't talk on the mic. Just punch him in the face.
Yeah, that probably would have been the best way to go. He challenges Sean to a match right now. He then calls Rick Rude an old man. Sean gets on the mic and says China could knock him out any day of the week and that Rude could still knock him out. And then Hunter could beat him anytime. And just about this time, Sergeant Slaughter brings his big chin down to the ring.
Didn't he go on about he, she? About China?
He did say something about whatever you are or something like that. Yeah. Which, not something you would say nowadays. Then he called them Sergeant Slobber, which I thought was really funny. He gets on the mic and says Hunter's going to take on Ken Shamrock tonight and that all DX are banned from ringside. Sarge will be at ringside, though, and he says Shawn Michaels will face Ken Shamrock for the WWF Championship, but he didn't exactly say when. So,
wait, no, there was no sort of naming a time or date or anything for that.
Yeah, so wait for bated breath as you wait for that contest to be announced. And then the first match of the evening is two guys that the WWF had big plans for that never really worked out. It is Mark Marrow with Sable, and he is taking on Ahmed Johnson. Glenn, go ahead and give me a breakdown of this one.
It's hard. What has happened to Ahmed Johnson?
The Johnson has gone flat. Oh.
The Johnson has definitely gone flat. Got a weak ass spine buster now.
Yeah.
And they just wins by DQ because Mark Merrow decides he's going to kick him in the balls.
Right in front of the ref, too.
Yeah. Very strange.
Yeah, I mean, you have exactly word for word what I had because there wasn't a whole lot to this. Then he hit his finishing move, which is the TKO on Ahmed Johnson. Then he leaves the ring and they show super heavyweight boxer Butterbean in the crowd. Are you familiar with Butterbean, Glenn?
I am the boxer.
Yes, I'll tell you more about Butterbean when we get down to his interview. But yeah, Butterbean.
I'm assuming that they're building up to the Brawl for All. Are they on this now?
Well, that's not until WrestleMania 15, so we still got quite a ways to go.
Oh right, okay.
Oh god, I just realized that when we review 1998, we're gonna.
Boy, yes, I know.
We're gonna make the mayor watch it too.
That's a good idea.
And Dan, we're going to make Dan Griffin watch this too. And fucking Rob. We're going to get them all in on this fucking terrible thing. We're all together. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Fourth member of our podcast team, Thurman Sparky Plug, is in the house. He came down here.
And you're going to have to watch Pro Football as well.
What did you say? I'm sorry.
And I said he'll have to watch the Brawl for All as well.
You will have to watch the Brawl for All as well, pal. I'm very sorry. That's what you get for pooping in the house yesterday. Okay. The next match is probably the best match of the night. It is the first round tournament match in the light heavyweight tournament. Sunny comes down to the ring. She's the special guest ring announcer. But the real bad news is Brian Christopher is going to be on commentary. Now, Brian Christopher, like as Grandmaster Sexay on Too Cool, they're really entertaining. But as a commentator, he is less than to be desired.
Oh, that horrible laugh.
It's the worst.
It's even more annoying than his father's.
It is. It's like nails on a chalkboard. It really, really is.
And what happened to Sunny? She was very covered up for this episode.
I don't know. I don't know. Good question.
It's very strange.
Maybe she just wanted to do something different this week. Maybe it was cold. It's in Canada. Maybe she's cold.
Yeah, it's Canada, isn't it? So, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, so it's Taka Michinoku taking on Devon Storm. Y'all will remember Devon Storm from his time in WCW as Crowbar. I believe he wrestled in WCW as Dangerous Devon Storm, too, before he was even Crowbar. Devin went after Taka right before the bell rang, but Taka was able to come back with some high-flying moves. What did you think of this one, Glenn? I thought it was a really good match. I wish it would have been a little bit longer.
This was excellent. This was excellent. It was a shame it was only 7 minutes long.
It felt shorter than 7 minutes. It felt like four.
Well, it probably was, because that was the timing on it from Sunny's entrance and everything. So by the time she'd finished. So the match was probably about 5 minutes, which is too short. They're trying to compete with the best light heavyweight division round at that time.
Yeah.
In WCW.
I mean, let's be honest, probably that ever was.
Oh, yeah. Probably ever will be as well.
Yeah.
And they don't give them long enough.
Yeah, they would let those guys on WCW, they'd be the first match of the night and they would get, at least 12 minutes. And it'd steal the show. And then they're not going to be able to do it with these fucking 4 minute matches. Cause like this was great, but it's only great to a point because they only got, 4 or 5 minutes of wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the way that Devon Storm kept on managing to avoid the Michinoku driver until right to the end.
Yeah, the match told a really good story. Ryan Christopher did get involved. He tried to distract Takamichi Noka, but he drop kicked him off the apron. What I liked is they got Brian Christopher involved, but he didn't really get involved in the finish of the match in any way. So he didn't take away from any of the guys in the ring. Mm-hmm. So that was good. So he gets the win with the Michinoku driver, and Takamichi Noka is moving on in the light heavyweight tournament. We then see a very angry Blackjack Bradshaw and Michael Cole. He is screaming because someone beat up Wyndham, and he's saying something about two jackasses, and I'm not really sure what happened.
Yeah. I think he tried to say it was DX.
Well, I mean, based on who they faced later in that bunkhouse brawl, I think it was the New Age Outlaws.
Yeah, the Outlaws, well, yeah.
Now I think about it. Well, they're going to be in DX eventually, Glenn, so you're right.
Yeah. That's where I got confused. Never mind.
And then we've got the Truth Commission, Recon and Sniper, who are already in the ring, and they will be taking on the Headbangers. And they bring out DOA with them, which is a very strange friendship, because I don't think that DOA likes the music that the Headbangers do, and I don't think the Headbangers like the music that DOA does. So
Perhaps the Headbangers like motorbikes.
Maybe. I mean, do you think DOA likes guys in skirts?
Probably not. No.
I'm not judging. If you like guys in skirts, cool. If you're a guy, you want to wear a skirt, I don't give a fuck what you do. Be happy. But I just don't think DOA's into that.
No. They don't look like... Skull and 8-Ball do not look like two guys that would enjoy guys in skirts.
No, they absolutely do not. So they're apparently they've got some sort of beef with the Truth Commission too, and that's why they're out here. The Jackal is on commentary, and they do more of having him talk about crazy bullshit than actually talking about the match. Not really a whole lot to note from this. It was an okay tag team match. I mean, the Headbangers got the win when Mosh powerbombed Thrasher onto Recon. And after the match, there was a big brawl between the Truth Commission and DOA. Do you got anything to add?
No, you could take any of these faction matches and insert here.
Yeah, it's the same shit.
Yeah, it's the same shit every week.
That's crazy that we blew through that quick, because we were already to the re-show and the pyro. The restart of the show and the pyro. We blew through that really quick. Because not a lot happened.
You forgot the Jim Ross with Gold Dust.
There was a Jim Ross and Gold Dust?
Yeah. You didn't see that bit.
No, I don't remember seeing it. No, what happened?
Oh, it's basically Gold Dust basically starting the formerly known as the artist formerly known as Gold Dust. You know what's been happening over the last few weeks about him and his misses and everything. And
that was like a recap?
Generous. Yeah, basically, I think.
Oh, okay. Maybe I just missed it. I don't know. Maybe I was out of the room or something. But yeah, I didn't see that. So yeah, I mean, Gold Dust is going to get... You thought he was weird in 1996. You just wait, pal.
Yeah, I know.
So the whole restart of the show in the pyro, and then they show still shots of Stone Cold beating Owen Hart for the Intercontinental Championship at Survivor Series. Austin then makes his way down to the ring with Michael Cole in there with him. Even the fans in Canada can't hate Steve Austin, Glenn. They were going crazy for him. He says that last night he went out and proved that he's back. He says that he went from drinking beer on his couch for 3 months to right back to being the Intercontinental Champion, because he's the toughest Cecil B in the world. The Nation's music hits, The Rock comes out, and let's hear a little bit of this back and forth. Glenn, what do you think?
Yes, yeah, why not?
I don't mean to rain on your little victory parade, but I know all the fans of the WWF around the world and everyone here tonight felt that when Rocky Maivia was the Intercontinental Champion, I was the best damn Intercontinental Champion there was. Steve Austin, come hell or high water, one way or another, I'm going to be wearing my Intercontinental title. And if you've got enough manhood to you to accept my challenge, then your bottom line will read, has been, compliments of The Rock.
You got your little challenges. You think you're big and tough. You stand up there all jacked up.
I got a couple of challenges for you. I challenge you to get you a decent haircut. Since you're a piece of crap, I challenge you to flush yourself down a commode.
Wow.
As far as you or anybody else is concerned, all you got to do is sign a damn piece of paper, and I'll beat the hell out of anybody right here in the middle of the ring. So you're damn right, you got your shot. You understand what I'm saying? But you don't suck because these people say you suck. You suck because Stone Cold said so. And that's the bottom line.
That was good.
At least he took his advice over the haircut, though.
He did. He looks like a Pineapple Willie motherfucker. Okay. My favorite part is, since you're a piece of crap, flush yourself down the commode. Okay. Commode's a fun word that people should use more.
Yeah. The other place they get used now is in hospitals a lot.
That's true. And that, nobody wants to be in the hospital. Gwen knows exactly what I mean.
No.
Definitely not. We then hear from Steve Blackman about what he did at Survivor Series, but they get interrupted by the Los Boricuas, who get into the ring, which wasn't a great idea because he laid waste to them.
Yeah. Finally.
Somebody had to.
Yeah. No, but I mean, they've got this guy who's a legitimate fighter. And what they've not really done anything with him so far. Certainly not in the match at Survivor Series they did it.
No, he just looked like a dumbass because he's got himself kind of out.
Yeah, so it's about time.
You can't blame Steve Blackman for that, though, Glenn. We're going to blame the team Captain Vader because Steve Blackman had never been in a wrestling match before. He didn't know about countouts. That's Vader's fault. Come on, Vader. You're the team captain.
Yeah.
We then find out that Blackjack Windham will not be able to compete in the Bunkhouse Brawl. So it's going to be a 2-on-1 match. They do an interview with New Age Outlaws. Cole asks them how they can accept a match with it being 2-on-1. And the Road Dog says, that's a stupid question, which I agree, that is a very stupid question. And it looks like Windham was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And now Bradshaw is higher than the Georgia Pines and twice as stupid, which I thought was a pretty good line. So then it's time, Glenn. Do you like a good bunkhouse brawl?
A good one, yeah.
But not this one.
This is, how can you have a handicapped bunkhouse brawl? Yeah. This had filler written all over it.
And also, it was like friggin' like 2 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, it was only just to get DX over, really. Get them on the screen more than anything else. Oh, New Age. Sorry, I keep calling them DX. Yeah, New Age Outlaws.
It's just a habit. They'll be DX.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was hot and heavy while it lasted. Bradshaw comes out there, throws powder in the eyes. He starts beating them both up while they're blinded. He picks up the timekeeper's table and smashes it over Road Dog's head. He then bashes him with a steel chair. But then, like, really quickly, Billy catches him with the DDT on a chair, and then they both cover him, and that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
What's your favorite bunkhouse brawl? Can you think of one?
Oh.
I certainly can't.
That's a relief thing, so I can't either at the moment.
I can't think of any bunkhouse brawls, but that still is my least favorite one.
I think they had a few in WCW more than WWE. They always seem to involve...
Dusty Rhodes. Yeah. Mm. Didn't they have a pay-per-view called the Bunkhouse Brawl?
I think they did.
Okay, I thought so. We then hear more of the interview with one Jeff Jarrett, and I'm going to apologize to our listener, Dan, but you're going to have to listen to Jeff Jarrett talk for a minute.
To be quite honest, I think the WWF's getting Jeff Jarrett at a bargain. Because I want to ask you a question. Where in 1997 can you go out and find a guy who's been in the wrestling business 12 years. I'm 30 years old. I started when I was 18. Never taken a steroid in my life. No skeletons in the closet. Have the star potential and star quality that I have. Looks like I do in and out of the ring. So for the WWF to get me at the price they're paying me, I think it's a bargain. What's your immediate goals? It's been my lifelong goal, and it's my immediate goal. I will be the World Wrestling Federation champion. And Vince McMahon, he might not have thought it 2 years ago. He might not think it right now. But I will be the greatest, most respected WWF champion that he's ever had.
Spend my days working hard on the coup, but hands on the track, keep spinning too slow. Jeff Jarrett's going to be the most respected WWF champion of all time. So go ahead, Glenn. Sorry.
Oh, basically, he just wants to be a cheap version of Mr. Perfect.
He looked like one, though, didn't he?
He certainly did. I've never seen a man with so much grease on his hair.
Well, maybe he decided, maybe he's got to get the right shampoo, Glenn. Maybe he's got the wrong kind.
Although I'm not one to, I can't really criticize about haircuts.
Well, at least it's not greasy, Glenn.
No, it's not greasy.
There you go. We then get an interview with boxer Butterbean. For anyone who doesn't know, Butterbean, a.k.a. Eric Davis, David Scott is his name, and he is a former four-time world boxing champion in the super heavyweight division. He became a pro boxer in 1994 after a successful stint in tough man competitions. He also fought in K1 as a kickboxer and in Pride Fighting Championships. His combined fighting record is 97-24-5 with 56 knockouts and 20 submissions. I assume the submission was him just sitting on someone's chest.
I would have thought so, yeah.
He is currently working with DDP, and they've released a video on YouTube called, it's called Butterbean's Comeback, One More Fight. And it's a video montage chronicling his achievements and transformation recovery. And you can check that on YouTube if you really, really want to. It is on YouTube. If you're looking to, they say it's a video montage, but it's like fucking 25 minutes long. I was going to watch it if it was like 3 minutes, but when it was 25 minutes, I was like, I'm not committed to that. I'm sorry. So if you're looking for somebody to review that, it's not this podcast. So anyway, they start talking, but then Mark Merrill comes out and gets in his face. He says, you want to talk to a real boxer? They should talk to me. He says, who's Butterbean ever beat?
Well, you just told us.
Which apparently 97 fucking people.
Yeah.
I don't think Mark Gunn's in that record, so 98.
That's right.
Just Butterbean, he's a nobody. He says, don't look at Sable, don't touch Sable. He's the star of the team. He says that he's just the Pillsbury Doughboy of boxing, and that Mark Mero is Superman, which the Pillsbury Doughboy of boxing did make me laugh.
If he doesn't want anybody to look at Sable, why bring her out?
That's an excellent question, Glenn.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. The whole gimmick seems to be a bit strange.
Yeah, I don't know. It's getting Sable over.
Oh, definitely. Well, we know how much Sable gets over.
Oh, very. Yeah. And then they kind of talked to Butterbean afterwards, and it was kind of like a weird back and forth. I'm pretty sure that Mark Merrow and Butterbean have a match coming up, and it may be at the pay-per-view, In Your House pay-per-view. So
I seem to remember that they did have a match, yes.
Yeah, so be on the lookout for that. I'm sure it'll be fun. And then for the first time in a long time, we get a match with The Undertaker. This is the first time since Bad Blood, I think, that we've seen him, in the ring. We've seen video promos from him, but we haven't seen him in the ring.
No, this is it.
Yeah, so this is basically two good friends wrestling here. It's The Undertaker facing Kama, the Nation of Domination.
Yeah.
A decent hard-hitting match. I mean, it wasn't very long, but
the match was less time than one of Taker's entrance.
So they have on WWE's YouTube page, they have a thing where The Undertaker and Mick Foley they sit down and watch the Hell in the Cell match together. And I highly recommend you go watch it because it's really, really funny. And I know you love both those guys and you probably really enjoy that match. So I think you'd really enjoy it. So check it out. And it's just really funny because they're talking about how The Undertaker had a broken foot. And Mankind's talking about how he got up on top of that cage and was like, if I could have crawled back down and had not ruined my career once I got up there, I would have, because the people looked like ants and I was having serious regret about doing this. And The Undertaker's like, this is the first time somebody was hoping I would walk slower to the ring.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really funny. So they go back and forth with some big moves. Undertaker hits a choke slam. and then knocks Khan out of the ring. But then once he does that, the lights go out, and Paul Bearer and Kane come out onto the ramp. Mm-hmm. Paul Bearer tells him it would be easy for Kane to come right down to the ring and send the Undertaker to eternal damnation, but he wants the Undertaker to suffer like Kane has suffered for 20 years. He says he must face his brother so that Kane can prove that he is superior. Taker says, tells Paul to shut up or he'll come up there and rip his throat out. He tells Kane this isn't the place and that Paul is nothing but a disease. And somewhere under that mask is his little brother, and he knows that there's something good left in him. And he wants to, him to come to him as his brother and stand by his side, because there's only one thing that will never happen, and he will never fight Kane, not tonight or any other night. And if they have to destroy everyone in the World Wrestling Federation, then so be it. And then Paul Bearer lets the Undertaker know that, well, every soul that we destroy from here on out will be on your head, and you will carry it with you until you burn in hell. That's some good shit right there.
It was. That was the best bit of that. Obviously, the match was just thrown in there just to get them all out.
I would say that was the best thing on the show.
It was, definitely.
Yeah. It definitely was. I mean, this definitely wasn't a home run show. So, and I know next week's is taped because that's the only way that Rick Rude could be in two places at once. So,
yes,
I don't have high hopes for next week's show either. So we get to the main event of the evening. It is Ken Shamrock battling Triple H. Rude comes out first to introduce Hunter as the future of pro wrestling. Boy, was that some foreshadowing.
Yeah, this is just, yeah, it's another no contest. It's just always so disappointing. Yeah, and she can't get a result in any of these matches.
Yeah, and the finish of it was so weird and convoluted with Sarge comes down there and Ken Shamrock rolls up Shawn Michaels and Sarge counts the three count on Shawn Michaels, but the match was fucking Triple H versus Ken Shamrock. So I'm voting for a vote of no confidence in Sergeant Slaughter as the
World Wrestling Federation. I think history has given you that vote of no confidence, but it's too late.
I guess you're right, pal. I guess you're right. They do inform us during this match that Ken Shamrock Hunt Shawn Michaels match for the championship will indeed happen at In Your House DX. I don't know. Do you have any any other notes from the match at all?
No, I haven't.
That's totally understandable, pal. I mean, it was fine for what it was, but like you said,
it seems to be that apart from the light heavyweight match, everything on here tonight is just to get people out in front of the crowd.
Yeah.
Got nothing to do with wrestling whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. Nope, you're absolutely right. Yeah, so that's it all comes down to like a smosh at the end, but somehow Ken Shamrock beats Shawn Michaels in a match that he wasn't in, and Sergeant Slaughter is somehow a referee. I don't know. And that's how the show goes off the air, just like that. With everyone left in confusion. And not wondering why or how Ken Shamrock beat Shawn Michaels in a match that he wasn't involved in. That is some 2000 WCW if I've ever heard it. I don't know about you, Glenn.
Yeah, it certainly is. It just leaves everybody in confusion, including us.
Including us. So if you're looking for us to straighten this out for you, we don't know either.
No.
We don't. No, either. Glenn, I'm going to give this show a solid thumbs down. It was not good. It gets down from me, pal.
Yeah, go down.
There was only thumbs one in. Good part. It was the Kane Undertaker part, and that was like 2 minutes. So I can't give it a good rating for it having 2 good minutes on the show.
No, that's right. A light heavyweight match, Kane and Undertaker. You can't really just give it anything for that.
Even if it was the light heavyweight match, was it just left you angry because you wanted it to be longer than 5 minutes? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So the ratings for this week, Glenn, in November 10th, 1997, WCW beats WWE by a full ratings point. It's a 4.39 compared to a 3.39. But, I mean, the good news is for WWE, that is the best rating they've had
in
several weeks. So we're looking at... They haven't had that good of a rating. Wow, it's been so long. So on March, May 19th of 1997 was the last time they got above a 2. So
they're doing well then, despite.
It's getting better. I'm not sure how this one's going to draw in viewers for next week's show.
Especially as you say, it's recorded anyway.
Yeah, and let's have a look at what we could have seen if we had watched WCW instead. The opening match was Ming defeating Glacier, and then Alex Wright with Queen Deborah defeated her former husband, Steve Mongo McMichael. Rey Mysterio defeated Chris Jericho, which I'm sure was a hell of a match. Diamond Dallas Page beat Viano number 5.
Okay.
Yep, and then Eddie Guerrero... and Dean DeMolinko ended in a double countout. It was for the Cruiserweight Championship. Lex Luger defeated Kurt Hennig by DQ for the United States Championship. I feel like every week Kurt Hennig defends the United States Championship, and every week he loses by DQ.
Loses a DQ. Yeah.
I'm going to have to go back and look at that, but I think that's correct. And the finish of the finish of their show, Don't Feel So Bad About This, Glenn, it also ended in a DQ. It was the Giant defeating Scott Hall via disqualification. So they also had one. Bet that. 2-3 disqualified, and the 4. They had 4 non-finishes on their show too. So,
oh god.
So not looking so good on theirs.
And I bet that the Giant versus Scott Hall was a real barn burner.
It was probably like 2 minutes and 39 seconds, and every member of the NWO ran in.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, god. I'm not sure if they were down to 2 versions of the NWO, but no, that happened after the state of COVID. So yeah, no, I had to be like,
yeah, there's still just the one of this one.
Yeah, it's still the semi-good NWO.
Yeah.
Well, that is it. That's all for this edition of Warring to Attitude. Glenn, who do we need to plug before we get out of here?
I'm booking the territory, Danny and Rob, the first and last of wrestling. And their little side projects, which are always fun. There's Unstacking the Dadatory, and also being the Elite Gator Golf, which is...
They're doing beer pong right now.
They're doing beer pong, yeah. They put the Gator Golf set away.
Is beer pong big over in the UK?
No.
Oh, fuck. Beer pong's huge here.
It's
every college campus, there right now, there's a douchebag on a college campus with his shirt off playing beer pong.
Oh, yeah. The only guys that probably know about beer pong over here are ones that watch certain adult movies, shall we say.
Are you telling me, Glenn, with their sticky, jerking off hands, they're playing beer pong?
No.
Okay.
Watching college age people.
Oh, like Ruben.
Beer pong. Yeah.
You mean like Ruben? If you haven't, go check out Walking in Memphis episode 2. You're all about AWI Pod Hall of Famer Ruben. He's disgusting.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take over your plugs.
That's all right. You're next anyway.
It's the Doctor Who podcast with Danny Inside. That's on SJP World Media. Show Dan Reed some love. He needs it.
And DDT Wrestling with DC and Doc.
There you go. Give all those lovely people a follow and listen to what they've got going on. And of course, give the other member of our podcast team, the mayor of Canton, a follow on the Twitter X. He does a meal with the mayor every Wednesday, which means today's Wednesday, which means today at 6 o'clock Eastern time, it will be out. So make sure you check it out. Last week he had Doodles and Company. Not impressed. Hopefully he'll do a little better this week. And of course, make sure you check out Sports Wire Radio. Check out the website, sportswireradio.org. That is Sports Wire with a Z. And give our buddy Thomas Bryce a follow on all the social media platforms. It's just search Thomas Bryce. T-H-R. I mean, you know how to spell Thomas. Bryce is just like it sounds. B, Rice. B, then Rice, just like Declan.
Yep, that's wrong.
There you go. And make sure you check out the other projects that we got going on. Like I said, there's a new episode of Walking in Memphis that's out right now. You will be getting a Backlash preview show out from us, I think, on Friday, as well as a new episode of The Life and Times of Psycho Sid. So be on the lookout for that. And we will be doing a new episode of AWI Pod Worldwide, where we are more on the road to one of my favorite childhood pay-per-views of Slamboree 1996. So be on the lookout for all of that stuff. It's exciting. I'm excited. Subscribe to us on YouTube. We've got over 300 right now. We're trying to have 1 million subscribers because we're aiming for the moon, pal.
Yep.
So that is it. That's all. The only thing left to do is for Glenn to say goodbye.
Goodbye.